Fugitive. An SAV production. Starring Kitty and Bobby as the host. Freed by fate to pursue an in-depth discussion of television's finest dramatic series ever. A Fugitive.
This week, didn't they? Wasn't ready for that one.
I know.
Hi, everybody. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and the special announcer back on for another 30-minute stimulating discussion of the greatest dramatic series, in history of television. Anyway, that's about all I know about it. Who's going to start off last week?
Everybody's stuck with me tonight.
They're stuck with you. Okay. All right. Then we'll go... Without further ado, we'll get right into the thick of things, and I've decided tonight, Bob, you start off.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're calling tonight's program Touched by a Fugitive because one of the enduring themes of the series is actually not the fact that Richard Kimball is running from Lieutenant Gerard, even though you might think that. It's actually about Richard Kimball traveling around the country and meeting an incredible variety of people, almost all of them completely dysfunctional in one way or another, and his remarkable and amazing ability to help them, to set them on the right road, to find people who are falsely accused of even crimes and find the real perpetrator. He has a remarkable ability. He's a doctor, but he quickly becomes a detective. He becomes a psychiatrist. He's everything to everybody, and it's not only the fact that he does that, and that he's able to do it, and I don't know where he gets that ability from, but that he's willing to do it. He throws himself into everybody else's problem, even though he's got enough problems of his own. And that you would think that he would simply, anytime he sees trouble ahead, simply beat it out of town. Because the last thing in the world you need when you have problems is to take on somebody else's. But he does it, all the time. And in the beginning of the series, in season one, first 10 episodes, five of them, half of them, deal with somebody else's problem and Kimball meeting them and changing their lives for the better. But it doesn't end there. I mean, it goes on for the rest of the season. And I actually looked through Ed Robertson's book, and it depends on how you view certain episodes, whether you view them as being about him or about somebody else. But to me, I would say at least 13 of the 30 episodes in the first season are about other people. They're not about him. He's always in it, in the fact that by helping other people, the police find out who he is, and he's got to get out of town at the end. But basically, it's really not about him. Now, over the years that I've discussed this with people, and in our group and in other groups I've belonged to, people always write and say that this is the part of the series they like the best. They like what they call Kimball's interaction with other people. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily feel that way. That's not my favorite part of the story, of the series, because I think that it's overdone. It's done too many times. I can understand people, when I say that, people say, well, you know, you can't have him running around the country away from the police all the time. You can't have him always running from Gerard because that looks ridiculous, and the stories would be quickly repetitious, and it would be the same thing over and over again, and I agree with that. You can't do that either, but if I'm going to say that, I'm also going to say that you can't also always have him running around the country meeting every lunatic and hardcore crazy in the world and trying to help them out of their dilemma. So I think it's done probably too often in the series. It doesn't bother me to the extent that it kills the series for me, but it really doesn't help a lot, and I just think it's unrealistic to have him doing that from week to week to week, and it makes the writers rather lazy. As the series progresses, after a while, the writers tend to lean on that too much. They stop coming up with creative ways to have him get in trouble, and instead, they simply rely on that. Who's he going to meet this week? How much trouble is it going to cause? Is he going to leave town this time, or is he not? And you see that over and over again. Works for the first season, pretty much. But after you've seen it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times, and you get into the second season, and the third season, and the fourth season, it becomes tedious, and I think I've seen it too much. And when we talk about classic episodes in the first season, we never talk about, we never mention series that, episodes that have to do with his predicament. But some of these stories are decent. I'm not saying that they're not, but I just think that it goes a little bit too far and they go overboard with it, and that's rather unfortunate. That's just my own view. What do you think, Kitty? Too much or not enough or just right or what?
Well, I agree with you because there are some episodes that are just not that great, and we've talked about it before how it's interesting that we got to meet Kimball's family in season one, and one of the characters was his brother, and yet we never saw his brother ever again. We saw the sister again, but we never saw the brother, and I've often pondered, why is it we couldn't have seen at least another episode of where he meets up with the brother somewhere and had an interesting story where the two brothers come to terms with the problems that they've had, and instead we get him with some very strange people instead, you know, and some of these episodes are just bad. I mean, one of the ones that you have talked about was that Fun and Game and Party Favors.
Right.
That was so bad, I was actually laughing at it. They're not trying to be funny, but some of them are so bad they're funny.
Right.
And you know, Storm Center is another one too. And that's from season one, where you know he came across a woman from his past, and you know this was truly a dysfunctional woman. And to me, the episode ended up being funny than serious.
But you know, in the past several weeks, in several of your reviews of the episodes we've been doing for season three, including the one we just did a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
you've mentioned, I'm sure you remember in your review, just the other day, I think, isn't it just this week that you said in your review, when he didn't leave town, when there was trouble, what's with this guy? I'm beginning to wonder about him.
Yeah, you know, you sometimes wonder about Kimball, too, because, you know, as I said in that review, he knows that the police are on his tail, and what's he doing? He's calmly packing his suitcase. It just seems kind of funny that the writers would have him reacting that way, because the normal fugitive certainly wouldn't stop to pack his suitcase if he knew that the police were on their way over.
Well, see, sometimes it just irritates me that he's just a little too good to be true, and I don't know where he gets this from, this desire to help everybody he meets, because he's a doctor, and I've never known doctors in real life to involve themselves in anybody's life, personally. So, you know, he's not a psychiatrist, and he's not, you know, and yet he does that consistently, and he throws caution to the wind, you know, in season one. And here's how I feel about it. You know, you start out with the pilot episode, and so they set it up right away, because in the very first episode, he's already helping Monica Wells, who's a woman being abused by her husband. So that's in the first episode, and even though we get all this discussion about why he is where he is and who he is and all of that, it quickly goes from that into her problem. About halfway through the episode, it stops being about him, and now it's about her. And when you're watching the series, it's just begun, you don't know anything about where they're going, you don't realize that this is just the beginning of this, that they're going to keep on doing this throughout the series, and he's going to meet a lot of other people. He goes from there, and then you get into the second episode,
right,
season one, which is The Witch, where he helps the troubled little girl.
Exactly.
Then you get into the third episode, and he's helping, you know, Cassie, the mountain girl, who needs to leave home in order to be something in her life. And so three out of three times, he's already, you know, it's all about him. And I don't know what I was thinking back then. It's too long ago. But, you know, if you're watching the show, you guys start to wonder after a while, is this really what this is all about? I thought it was about a guy running from another guy. It doesn't look like it to me. It looks like he's just, you know, he's just a fugitive on the prairie. You know, he's a psychiatrist. He's going to just go from place to place and help everybody.
Bob,
so,
you've got a caller when you're ready.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Put him through right away.
All right. We'll put her through. So let's welcome from Pittsburgh, PA. We've got Linda. Hi, Linda.
Oh,
ready
hi,
to...
Linda.
Yeah.
Hi,
oh,
hi,
I can
Bob.
Tell this
hi,
is
Kitty.
A stranger.
Yeah.
this this topic strikes to my heart, so I have a number of things to say. First off, I have a question. It's my understanding that Quinn Martin wanted to model Kimball after Shane. Is
that
true?
I've heard that, yeah.
That he wanted someone who would drift from town to town, solving people's problems and leaving again, and
well, that
the murder conviction...
He wanted to take a Western and put it into contemporary time.
Uh-huh. And the murder conviction and the search for the one-armed man were just kind of the reason why he moved from place to place. Yeah.
I guess.
That's sort of the impression I got. Kimball's... ability to help people. I think we first saw it in Fear in a Desert City when he was helping Monica Wells.
Right.
And it shows us what a decent person he is right off the bat. And it seems to me that that provided the background against which when he made his impassioned plea of innocence to Monica later on, we in the audience just simply had to believe it because this guy's just too good to be true. And he couldn't possibly have killed someone cold-bloodedly. And we've debated, I know, on the website whether this was a good way to start season one, the whole series, or whether it should have started with the murder and the trial. And it's my contention that this was the perfect place to start the series because it let the viewers meet Kimball just like everybody else he met along the way, and they got to draw their own conclusions on his guilt or innocence. And then we get to see the details of what really happened later, but just meeting him right out of the blue, just like Monica did, just seemed to me the perfect way to meet him. What do you think?
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, because certainly... He always has the choice of not getting involved. I mean, you know, let's face it, an average person would probably turn and look the other way as they saw a guy hitting his wife, and, you know, and that would probably be somebody who's never been convicted of a crime. And here it is, you've got this guy who's been convicted of a crime, and yet he chooses to get involved.
Well, that's the beginning. So I take it, Linda, that as the series winds down into other seasons, you don't feel that's been overdone by the time you get to the third season?
Well, I think in some cases, yes. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Like in the episode that we just talked about on the group, Little Boy Blue, it didn't work for me at all there.
Right.
It was ridiculous. But there are other times, like when the next episode we're going to talk about, like All the Scared Rabbits, when he's helping someone as a physician. I love those ones. And sometimes he's helping, I kind of categorized all of these. Sometimes he's helping as a physician. Sometimes he's helping someone who's been falsely accused themselves, like Rat in a Corner. Sometimes that works, sometimes not. Sometimes he's helping people because he walks in as a stranger and just seeing things with a fresh eye, he can see what's going on better than the people that are directly involved.
Is he too good to be true?
Like Cry Uncle or Girl from Little Egypt or even Where the Action Is, which sometimes we wonder why he bothers.
is he too good to be true?
He does see a side of Chris that no one else does, and he does help her reestablish her relationship with her dad. I kind of like that, even though I didn't like Chris. And sometimes he helps people because he's trying to protect them from someone else who's trying to harm them, like in Garden House and Homecoming. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it just doesn't.
Okay, well, I just want to know, how do I get him as a doctor? I'd like him to be my doctor because he really cares.
Well, sometimes you would. Other times, like in Garden House, where he just kind of watched somebody die,
oh, yeah,
you begin to wonder.
That's true. I just think I would prefer to have a little more edge. That's why I like the 2000-2001 version of the series, because I know it's the same basic premise, and that Tim Daly did help an awful lot of people in that one season. But I thought he had a little more of an edge to him. He was a little angrier,
That's true.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that because it seemed so out of character that it was so different to me. I was not used to a Kimball that was angry and that sometimes really didn't want to help anybody else. He had too many other things on his mind.
Listen, on our mind here at the moment, we're going to take a brief intermission and collect our thoughts, and then we'll be come back in about 60 seconds and pick up with this discussion when we continue to talk Fugitive on Sherevision Radio.
Evenings at 7:30 Pacific Time, it's Talkin' Television with Dave White. 90 minutes of fun dedicated to all we like about the world of television. Experts discussing featured programs, retro commercials, the latest about what's new on DVD, the Guru's Brain Buster, and a few surprises, along with listener calls and emails. So make yourself a Tuesday regular on KSAV, where video created the radio star.
Seconds was all it took. Say, last week on Tuesday, due to technical problems, internet problems, our live programming got interrupted, and as a result of that, tonight, immediately following Talkin' Fugitive at 6:30 Pacific Time, we're going to replay Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae and her interview with her guest, Stan Ivar. So that will be immediately after this. Then at 7 o'clock, a truncated version. I like that. A truncated version of Perfectly Frank, and then Talkin' Television with Dave White at 7:30. Okay, back to Talkin' Fugitive.
Okay, Linda, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so.
I just had a couple other things to say, and then I'll let Ken get on.
All right.
First, I think one of the things about Kimball's willingness to help people get involved that we haven't mentioned yet is that it's usually the deciding factor when someone has to decide whether they're going to help him. They help him because they've seen what a decent guy he is, and so that always helps him get away. And the other is that sometimes I agree with Bob. His life-changing abilities seem too good to be true. And I think the worst case of that, I thought, was the survivors, where it's clear that his wife's family had a lot of major problems in the relationships between those people, especially the mother and the daughter. And I find it very doubtful that after years of that kind of behavior, a few well-chosen words from Kimball are going to change anything. So that's all I have to say. So let Ken get on.
Thanks
for listening.
All right.
Okay, bye.
You can bring Ken on.
Okay, we'll take a minute for us to get him up on the board. So.
Okay. Well, I pretty much agree with what Linda said. I don't have a problem with any of that. I just think you have to be real, real careful about that and not go too far. Doesn't generally bother? Yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say that I agree with you. I do think Kimball sometimes is too good to be true.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this is maybe we should leave it right here. Agreement, you know, we're all in accord. I'll throw in, I agree with you also, so unanimous. Okay, we've got Ken on the line. Ken, welcome back. Good to have you on again.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hey guys. Interesting topic, Bob. I think it just proves my point. The Fugitive should have had a pilot episode in the beginning, start off at the train wreck, show us what happened with the trial, show us some Helen Kimball. I don't mind some of the stories that they did in season one, like The Other Side of the Mountain. I like that episode. Some of the other ones, Decision in the Ring, wasn't too bad for me. But I agree with you that when they started doing soap operas,
yeah.
Storm Center was absolutely horrible. You know, just that was ridiculous. And The Garden House also. But when they did the stories like, you know, Search in a Windy City, some of the other classics, obviously, Never Wave Goodbye, And when they got into, like, the fugitive core, you know, Gerard is on his tail, that's where it worked. What do you think?
Go ahead, Kitty.
Oh, yeah, I certainly think it worked. But I, you know, I still think that some of those stories where he helps someone out works, though. I mean, I have no problems with the pilot, with him helping out Monica Wells. And, in fact, one of the things Bob asked me before the show was to think about who I thought, in my opinion, was someone that really needed his help the most. And the first person that came to my mind was the character of Davy Lambert in that episode called Fatso, because this was a person who had all this guilt, and it turned out that it was unwarranted guilt because he didn't do what everybody said that he had done. He did not set a barn on fire. His brother had set him up, and, you know, and without Kimball to help him, you know, this guy may very well have just ended up as a bum on Skid Row because he had this drinking problem. But probably the most irritating character that he helped was that horrible Chris in Where the Action Isn't. you know, this was a person that he just needed to just leave her by the side of the road, you know, in fact, run away, run as fast as his legs could take him. I mean, this woman had nothing on, you know, Gerard had nothing on this woman. He needed to get away from this woman more than he needed to get away from Gerard.
Well, I thought that if I had to pick somebody who I thought most deserved his help in season one, I would pick Monica Wells, because this is a safety issue. She's getting beaten up in that episode when he sees her out in the parking lot. Her husband's beating her up, so he could hardly turn away from that. Nobody could.
Ken, I was going to say, Ken, are you still on there, Ken?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Go ahead. Are you on a cell phone? You dropped off for a while.
No, I'm on my home phone.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry. Good enough. Just wanted to make sure you were there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
So I thought she deserved the help because he could not call the police for obvious reasons. And he had to do something. So that was a different story right there. And I would agree the person who least deserves any help was Chris Polacek in Where the Action Is, because she's simply a spoiled brat. That's all. She just needs a spanking. I mean, this is not
precisely. And in fact, he came close to giving her a spanking.
Exactly.
He did slap her across the face, and I don't think he ever did that to any other woman on the series.
Right. So she deserves no help at all. It's absolutely ridiculous. And her father, you know, played by Telly Savalas, is too busy, too tied up in his work to pay any attention to her. And it's just, you know, it's a mess. I can't say that he was wise to put himself in danger for people like this. It simply is not worth it. Before we run out of time, I just want to mention one thing. In 1965, and I'm probably the only, I know that Kitty's too young to know this, only people like me and Dave would remember.
Oh, I'm glad I got in there, yeah.
In 1965, Roy Huggins, who did The Fugitive, who created The Fugitive, created a program called Run for Your Life. And that starred Ben Gazzara. Do you remember that, Dave, at all?
I do remember that show, yeah. And I always liked Ben Gazzara, too.
And that show was about a lawyer who goes to the doctor one day. Obviously not Richard Kimball, because he would have been cured if he had. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him that he has 2 years to live. And he decides, you know, he spent too much time being a lawyer and not paying attention to life. He's going to take off across the country and experience everything he can. And so the series is nothing but about all the people he runs into, some of whom he helps, some he does not. And I went to the internet, the IMDb on the internet to read about the series, and they had an interesting line here. They said the program becomes a series of plays in which he meets a wide variety of people, from bums riding the rails to gigolos to orphans, and becomes a man who has little to fear and little to lose. That almost sounds like The Fugitive. The difference is that he has nothing to lose. He's not, you know, he's just traveling the country. He's not running from anybody, so he can afford to get involved in everybody, you know, to forget his problems and the fact that he's going to die. And that made more sense. But for me, the problem is that Kimball's got too much to fear to be involved in all these other lives. It just doesn't look right.
But that does make him an appealing character, though.
I agree.
I mean, the fact that he does get involved with other people, it makes him much more likable.
Let me just ask Ken, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know that in several of your reviews, in fact, very often you, when you come up against stories you don't like, you have posted on the board and said that the writers are you've gone in there and said, the writers are being lazy again. They're just, when we come up against two, three, four stories in a row that are really lacking, don't you think this is part of the problem, that they rely on this too much?
Yes, absolutely. You can tell right away when the storyline begins whether it's going to be a dud or not. And I was always disappointed with that. I was so eager each week, you know, what's going to happen with Kimball now? And when they, you know, for example, he walks into a restaurant, that's kind of like, and then he gets kidnapped. And I said, wait a minute, I saw a kidnapping already. Isn't this kind of redundant? And so I want to ask you, Bob, when you were watching, you said you're disappointed that Kimball is such a white knight and he's saving people all the time. Well, when you were watching, Bob, what were you looking for each week?
What was I looking for out of the series?
Yes.
Oh, I'm all about the chase. I'm all about the suspense.
Yes.
That's what I wanted. That doesn't mean that necessarily that if you know, they would tell you at the beginning, you would see a little preview on some of the episodes, you would know that Gerard was in it. Okay, but if he wasn't in it, I didn't turn it off and say, well, he's not in it this week, so it's not worth watching. But for me, it was always about the chase. And you and I both know that we're coming up in a couple of months in season three on an episode called The 2130, which is all about the chase.
Yes.
You know, that's a dream come true for people like you and me, because that whole episode is 1 hour of Kimball running from place to place to place, being chased by a computer and by Gerard. And it's just wonderful. That's what I was looking for. I was not looking for this touchy-feely kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, I really wanted just the suspense of wondering, is Gerard going to walk around the corner at any minute? And if he does,
right. What's
going to happen then?
Same with Landscape with Running Figures. You know, an episode like that just has a lot of drama, a lot of suspense, and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Those are perfect episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was always the kind of thing I was looking for. Like I said, when we did Never Wave Goodbye, I didn't like it the first time I saw it. But, you know, I was only 16 years old. So I thought to myself, this is sappy. This is a stupid love story. I'm not interested in this. This is not why I'm watching this show. If he's just going to go from place to place and meet women, then you can have it. I've changed my mind. You get older, you change your mind on that kind of stuff. You see different things in it. But that's not...
I'm sorry, I'm trying to catch a spot here where it's over. I got an email from Terry, and Terry says that she would like to see, I guess this means on your webpage, she said, I would love to see a picture, if you can find one to post, from the episode When the Wind Blows from When the Wind Blows from Season 3.
When the Wind Blows? Is she talking about Ill Wind? That's not the title of an episode.
Well, I only read the mail here.
Well, here it is. Ken, help me out here. Isn't she talking about the Ill Wind?
Probably Ill Wind, yes, that one.
Oh, we'll get to it. That's not a problem.
Oh, well, that's right. She was just requesting a picture.
Okay, well, when we get to that episode, yeah, that's a classic episode. When we get to it, there will be a series of pictures there.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time because I hear the music going.
Thanks, Ken.
So, Ken, thanks a lot as usual. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. For you guys, what's going to be back? What are you doing in a couple weeks?
Richard Kimball is going to Little Egypt, but it's not to see the pyramids.
All right. That'll be up 2 weeks from tonight. Kitty and Bob, thanks a lot. Thanks for the caller. Thanks to Terry for the email. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae, last week's interview with Stan Ivar, and then I will be around in just 1 hour. Crime and detection shows tonight. All this going on Sheravision Radio.